You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You're on the 95BFM Breakfast Show. Welcome along if you have just tuned in. My name is Rachel. We're about to listen to The Crack by Goat Girl. And then on the other side of that, we're going to be hearing from Ali Rose, who is one of the four members of Goat Girl, all the way from the UK. That is Goat Girl with the fantastic track The Crack. And on the line, all the way from the UK, we have got Ali Rose from the band Goat Girl. Morena, Ali, how are you?
Hello, I'm great, thank you.
I should actually say
how
good
are
evening. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. It's what time is it for you?
It is 33 minutes past 8 in the nighttime.
In the nighttime. Well, it's very nice to be able to speak to you across time zones at the moment about this fantastic record On All Fours, which we've been loving here at our radio station. And it's a really awesome and very interesting follow-up to your debut record, which came out back in 2018. It's been an extremely strange year for the whole world. You've personally had a very difficult year. How has the process of releasing this record been for you as an artist?
It's been very cathartic, I think. Because obviously, well, we recorded the album in 2019. So we've waited quite a long time to put it out. And even though it's strange circumstances, it feels the right time for it to be released. And we've just put so much into it that, you know, we couldn't not be happy with the outcome.
Mm. It's got quite a lot. I mean, the Crack actually is quite a good example of this, but it's got quite a lot of protest sort of motifs that come in and out of different tracks. And there's like quite a sense of purpose and urgency to a lot of this record. What were you all thinking about when you were writing? What sort of was the context that shaped this album?
I think we all kind of have individual concepts going on in our heads. And for me personally, I kind of write just what I feel and think in that moment, and I don't put like loads of thought behind it. And I like making music in that way because to me it feels like the most honest and authentic way of writing. So I generally just write about what's playing on my mind. And I think climate change has been a big one, and and kind of the destruction that we're causing to the natural world, which is sort of the subject matter for The Crack and also Baddie Bat Bath.
Do you ever find that when you've finished writing a song and you've kind of had a little bit of space from it, you re-listen to it and you go, oh, that's what I was thinking about. Do you kind of, write as you're saying in the moment and then afterwards reflect on it and sort of, I guess, like think about what it was that was forming that at the time?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, because in a way, when writing lyrics specifically, it's kind of like a flow of consciousness in a way sometimes. So then, yeah, to reflect upon that, you can... I mean, people draw out different meanings as well from lyrics, so that's an interesting thing.
And you've gone with quite like a surrealist visual aspect to this record, which I really enjoy because I think it kind of captures a bit of that chaotic energy that maybe feels a bit like a generational zeitgeist or something at the moment. But I love the videos you've been releasing and the album cover for this. Do you sort of have a bit of an overarching idea of what you wanted this record, the world you wanted this record to kind of exist within? Or did that also just happen kind of naturally as you released the album?
Yeah, well, I think the world that we wanted to create aesthetically was kind of quite post-apocalyptic, because a lot of the lyric context, whether it's sort of socially kind of apocalyptic or environmentally apocalyptic or mental illness, it all kind of feels like it's building up to this kind of apocalypse. So yeah, with the artwork that's used for the album cover, we chose to work with two artists called Aidan Evans-Jezra and Toby Evans-Jezra, and they're two brothers, and they painted the front cover by like listening to the album pretty much.
Oh, cool.
So there's a lot of quite literal references visually portrayed, and then all of the music videos and stuff were taken from the album cover. So it's kind of been a big snowball effect in terms of the artwork and everything.
That's really interesting. It must be quite a cool thing to be able to see someone else's like artistic interpretation of what you've been making as a band. How do you work with each other and then also with your broader community? Because obviously it's been such a difficult year for musicians in the UK, particularly trying to, you haven't had any gigs, you haven't been able to do all the things that normally accompany releasing a record. But how do you stay connected with your community around you during, a pandemic?
Yeah, I think that's hard, especially, well, for everyone, but when you're a musician, that's a very tactile and very close thing to be doing, and it's a very intimate thing, playing gigs or rehearsing, so that's just been a bit impossible at the moment. But I think we've tried to kind of use social media in a way of sort of being more interactive with our fans, and also like making kind of like short films and stuff that we've streamed. We did like a talk with our producer, like chatting about how we recorded the album and the different techniques and stuff. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's opened up this new world that I don't think we would have necessarily have gone down that path, because we were always kind of not anti, but kind of disinterested in the kind of internet world. But we've been forced to go down it.
Yeah, you from, you know, what I've seen online of your last record, you played a whole lot of massive festivals. It must be quite a strange thing to compare that release to this release. And, you know, it's had an amazing reception because it's a fantastic album. But, you know, not being able to get out there and play it in front of an audience must be a very frustrating thing in many ways for musicians.
It is, yeah. But at the same time, everyone's in the same position.
Yeah.
And there's an element of kind of just sitting back and watching everything unfold, because there's no control that we have over this situation.
Mm.
And I think when the time does roll around, when we're allowed to play live, it's going to be amazing. Like, I don't think people are even aware of, like, how crazy it's going to be. It's going to be, like, I don't know. It's going to be fantastic.
One giant festival all the time.
Yeah. It's going to be crazy party town, I reckon.
So your other three bandmates, Holly, Lottie and Rosie, where did you guys all meet as musicians? Did you all go through uni together? Is that how you connected?
No, I didn't actually go to uni. But so me and... the original bassist, Naima, went to school together, and we met Lottie just through, like, mutual friends, and then we went to lots of the same gigs as Rosie, and then we got to know them and were, like, looking for a drummer at the time and just kind of asked them if they wanted to join. And then when Naima left the band, Holly just kind of appeared to us. Like, we've got a lot of mutual friends, and she was a really good fit.
It sounds like you all kind of just found each other at the right time then, when you were ready to make some music.
Yeah, quite organically, really.
It's the best way for any project to come about. With this record, It is one of those albums that kind of, it makes you want to sort of get up and do something. That's how I've experienced it, at least. What do you kind of hope when you are able to get back out, play some gigs, have a really good time, but what do you hope is some of the, I guess the, like, lessons? I don't really want to moralize the whole pandemic, because that's not very useful, but what do you think some of the key, like, takeaways for the music community or communities in the UK will be from this? Do you expect it's going to change the way that music happens for you all?
I think that's nice that you see the album as, like, a lively thing. I think in terms of what we're going to take away is, well, on a personal level, I've got kind of like a deep gratitude for music, which maybe I didn't have in the way that I do now. Because I think when you're, you know, maybe you're a bit lonely. I feel like a lot of people are lonely at the moment. Whether you're surrounded by people or not, we can't socialise. And, you know, listening to music is kind of a form of socialisation, because you're getting to hear other people's sort of points of view and emotions spill through. And I think that's super important at a time like now, and also when, like I was saying, you know, just like when stuff gets to open up again, I think everyone's gonna go for it like never before. And, you know, I regret not going to, being lazy and not going to gigs. Like, I'm like, oh, you know, maybe I want to have a bath and a chill tonight. It's like, that was stupid, wasn't it?
I know that feeling. You just think about all the gigs that you should have gone to for the last year, and you're like, why didn't I do that? I did not need to watch those 3 episodes of The Bachelorette. That was a bad decision. Hey, Ellie Rose, it's lovely to chat to you. We'll let you get on with your evening. We're going to play Buddy Bubba now, which has been on our playlist and in our top 10 as well for a long time. So thank you for making music that we've been enjoying on the other side of the world.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And we, you know, cross our fingers for you guys over in the UK that you get out and are able to play some music live when it's safe soon.
Cheers.
Thanks, Ellie. See you later.
Have a good one.
Was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.